Who's bending down to give me a rainbow? Everyone knows it's the 95 BFM Small Top 10. Take it away, Amelia.
I don't mind if I do. Now, this evening I am joined by the wonderful, the selfless, the doing basically all cinematographical work that BFM requires, Zambo. If you've ever watched a BFM video, it's probably you, huh, Zambo?
Probably in the last few years.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a simple job, but someone has to do it.
I mean, some of those edits. Mwah.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Amelia.
I'm just saying. Now, would you like to introduce the subject of your small top 10 this evening?
Right.
Let's get you a little bit closer to the mic. Yeah, there you go.
My top 10 is the top 10 companions in Doctor Who.
Oh, top 10!
In the entire Doctor Who canon, which there is a lot of.
There's a lot of that, and a lot of it doesn't exist, right? Like, you can't watch it anymore.
Yes, okay. Some old episodes are missing footage, but they have the audio. Some have been animated, reconstructed.
Oh wow!
There's a whole spectrum of missing kind of information. What has been recovered?
It sounds like a wonderful and mysterious world.
Yes, just like the whole show, there is a huge amount of history and a lot of information to cover. And so it was so painful to compress it down into 10 unthinkable options for the 10 companions.
Yeah, I came and tried to, like, see how you were doing before the show started, and you're like, don't look at me! I'm busy! It seems like a very, like, difficult process for you. Are you happy with how it's come out?
Yes, well, I established a set of criteria.
We'll get to the criteria soon, I reckon. Mm-hmm. I reckon let's get a couple of numbers going first, and then I would like to hear the criteria. I think that's an exciting way to do it. It's drama. Okay. It's drama. All right, wait.
10.
Leela. Leela is a warrior from the Sevateem tribe.
Oh, okay.
Which is a corruption of the word survey team. So she's actually from the future, but she's like a warrior who forgot her origins. So she's smart and capable, but very kind of...
So what doctor is this with?
This is with the fourth doctor. Oh, I should say that start.
Yeah, no, so I need to know the stuff.
This is which late, one's the mid fourth? To late 70s. This is Tom Baker with the big scarf.
Okay, big scarf doctor. You're going to have to give me the, like, cricket doctor, scarf
this is,
doctor.
This is the height of the gothic horror years under...
Shit.
Yeah, so okay. She's the end product of it being like a kind of savage warrior princess character, but a lot more depth.
It sounds a little bit problematic, but I think we can maybe go with it.
No, but she actually has a lot of complexity. And if you follow the extended material, she ends up being a time lady in the future.
So, I didn't know you could become... I thought they were like their own kind of little group.
You can kind of... The canonicity of the extended material.
Yeah, so when you say extended material, are you talking about like the books?
Audio books.
And like
mainly.
Radio plays and stuff?
Yeah, there were a few radio plays, but most of it have been audio books and novels.
And so that is canon?
Yeah. And she gets a bonus point for a fun costume in that she's in a leather bikini.
Oh my God, Sam.
This is part of my criteria, is if they have a fun costume.
Fun costume. Okay, we've got one part.
A bonus point.
I'm enjoying the slow reveal of the criteria. So one of the things you're looking for is fun costume.
Yeah.
If that's part of the criteria, how do you get more fun than a leopard bikini? Shall we find out with number 9? Okay, here we go.
9.
Nyssa of Traken, another old Who companion. Probably if you're familiar with New Who, you'll be like, who are these people? But this is another late 70s, early 80s character.
Okay.
Travelled with the fourth and the fifth Doctor.
Which one's the fifth one? Does he have any distinguishing characteristics?
Yeah, he was the one who was in the cricketing outfit.
Oh, with the
young,
asparagus?
Soft blonde, celery.
I'm revealing myself to be a bad nerd this evening.
No, you're far more knowledgeable than most people.
I'm glad that seal of approval means a lot to me, Zamba. Yeah. Okay, so what's Nissa of Tarkin? Did I get that right?
Tarkin,
sorry. What are they all about? Let me know about their personality, their fun costume.
Yeah, well, Nissa does have a fun costume because she was a one-off character who they decided to bring back. So that speaks to her merits. But she was a royalty, so they had her in this, like, a velvet pantsuit with a little crown.
Okay, I really like that.
And they did eventually get her out of that, but they were stuck with this costume because they just rather last minute
had her. A velvet pantsuit with a crown is, like, I love that. Is this the 70s?
This is more early 80s.
Okay,
but
yeah, she's early 80s futurism.
She's a bioelectric scientist, and there was a lot of science stuff going on in the background in the early 80s.
Because it meant to be educational initially, right?
Yeah, well, moved a lot away from that. But in the early 80s, they brought a lot of the science back.
Okay.
And so she was in the background of a lot of these very intriguing plot lines.
She was like, electrons.
Yeah, no, so she was a great character for that.
Okay, love that. Okay, number eight.
Number eight is Wilfred Mott.
Okay, that's a new one.
Yeah,
all
that's
right.
A new one. There will be more New Who characters, I promise.
All right.
Wilfred is the fun, lovable grandpa character of another character, Donna Noble. And Wilfred,
I'm sure we'll get to Donna Noble.
Yeah.
You and Kittia were having a very heated discussion before that made very little sense to me, but I did pick out the words Donna Noble.
Yeah, no, Wilfred is much loved, like Donna.
And he's famous for a different TV show, right? The actor.
The actor Bernard Cribbins.
Yes.
I don't know. Maybe he's in like some British comedy like Dad's Army or something.
You tell me why you love Wilfred, and I'm going to do a quick Cribbins Google.
Yeah, well, Wilfred is just delightful because he's the kind of like sneak off to the pub kind of like cheeky grandpa kind of thing. He also is notable for the actor was in Doctor Who in the 1960s in one of the movies.
How many movies? Yeah. I thought there was just that one in the 90s.
No, there were two movies made at the height of Dalek mania.
Wow.
In the 60s.
Dalek mania.
Yeah.
Is that a real thing?
There's a Wikipedia page.
Shit. So Cribbins.
Yeah.
He narrated the Wombles.
Oh.
Yes. He's got a very lovely.
Is that what you were thinking?
Yes, that is what I was thinking of.
Okay.
Yeah. That's the kind of nerd I'm a Wombles nerd.
Mm-hmm.
They're quite. I thought from number 9 and 10 they're all going to be kind of like sexy.
No.
But no. He's just quite jolly. All right. Can you reveal another criteria as we move into number
7?
One of the criteria is just the dynamic that they bring to the show, how they bounce off their other supporting cast, and of course the Doctor.
Okay.
So sometimes it's just the product of being at the right place at the right time. And I think this next companion, Bill Potts, is that's another New Who.
I love when you say the name as if it's like got some deep significance.
Yes.
Bill Potts. I'm just here mystified. So what's Bill Potts all about?
Bill Potts is like a wisecracking university student who traveled with the 12th Doctor, Peter Capaldi.
Okay.
So she's very a recent companion.
Yes.
And she's just, I mean, I don't have that much to say about her, but she just was a great, she was kind of a straight man to the 12th Doctor, Peter Capaldi, who kind of developed this great, like, crazy.
Yeah, because in the new ones, they're much more like, they're much more like characterful. Like the old Doctors are very like, ugh.
Yeah, no. Peter Capaldi really settled into his last season, and he got this great other companion, Nardole, who is an honourable mention, played by Matt Lucas.
Oh, honourable mentions,
yeah. But Bill, I just really liked Bill. She was smart and really sharp performance and
costume.
Writing. No, she was modern, and she had some great costumes.
Casual modern chic. I mean, there's a lot to be said for Normcore.
She's great in There's an episode. She has a stripy rainbow top. Oh, and actually, she is a.
I love that it's gone from like kind of full on costume stuff, like velvet pantsuit, to like, oh, she wore quite a nice stripy top one time. Just like something you'd say about old mate.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I mean, there will be more fun costumes, I promise.
Okay, I've become quite invested in the costumes. All right.
Six.
Number six.
Yep, I'm reading.
Zoe Harriet. Flying right wow. over yep. lots of people's heads.
I love the passion in your voice, though, is really selling it to me. Like, when you said that, I was like, well, it's an obvious choice for number six. Like, how could it not be Zoe?
Well, if you ask me. Zoe is traveled with the second Doctor back in the 60s. So this is a quite a distant throwback.
Okay.
But Zoe was a computer scientist.
Yeah.
From a space colony who kind of joined...
Sick.
Who joined the second Doctor and his companion, Jamie, as like... a kind of golden trio of just perfect characters, if
okay.
you ask me.
Because, so, I do know some things about Doctor Who, and I'm gonna get through all of them, I think, probably yeah. by the end of this list. But the first Doctor, right, initially he was the grandfather of the companion.
Yes.
And then they retconned it or something.
They didn't retcon it as much as never bring it up again.
Okay.
Despite some fans... There's still like a people thought they were gonna bring Susan back in the recent series, and there's still nothing. It's like one of those great mysteries, okay. fan theories. People want to bring Susan back,
but you don't. So you don't get any of that with it. The second Doctor's also an elderly man, right?
Yes, but a fair bit. He's very different from the first Doctor in that his characterization, and I'm quoting literary here, is a cosmic hobo. So he's
who are you quoting?
That was like the brief that they came up with.
It
was like, you know, 60s Beatlemania. They had this character who was a lot more aloof and kind of like a space tramp, you know. He'd run around in his rickety old...
I'm paying a lot of attention. He's a space tramp.
I think we're moving quite... Yeah.
So, yeah.
So... compared to the space tramp Doctor, Zoe is like a young but brilliant computer scientist. And so she's a great comic foil to him, who's like kind of a bit dottery and wild. And she's like kind of a voice of reason at times, but also extra point.
Yeah.
Great costume. She is most of the time in a sparkly purple cat suit.
Okay, now I would love a cancer. We've already got a text that just says Amy Pond.
I wonder if that's Sam David.
we will find out. Okay, I think on the sparkly purple catsuit note, we'll have a song. Space Tramp.
Number six.
This is Clara with Sophia. Oh. Oh, there you go. It's 95 BFM.
I think we could do it.
You're tuned into 95 BFM. This is the top 10, and we are. We're in the midst of the small top 10 here with Zambo talking about Doctor Who companions. Can you give us a quick rundown of 10 to 6 just to see where we're at?
All right. Number 10 was Leela.
Okay.
Number 9 was Nyssa.
Yep.
Number 8 was Wilfred Mott. Number 7 was Bill Potts. Number 6 was Zoe Harriet.
Oh, exciting. And now you revealed something controversial to me off air, and that is that, I mean, we got the text of just the name. Amy Pond did not make the list. But the whole, there were like 3 seasons where she was like the main character. Like, the whole arc was like about her secret baby and stuff, wasn't it?
There's a lot of plot around Amy.
Yes.
And Amy is a great...
Now, she's a wonderful girl.
Should I explain my criteria?
Okay, yes.
What makes a good companion in Doctor Who?
Okay.
A, they have to bring a great dynamic to the other supporting cast and the Doctor. B, they have to have a really strong characterization and motivation.
Okay.
And C, they have to have likability in that they're actually someone you could, like... You know, it's
hang
important.
Out with.
Yeah, like someone you could actually go on an adventure with. I think that's really important.
And now
you could see yourself going,
what's Amy Pond lacking?
Amy Pond's not lacking. I think she's lacking.
Just go. Just
the
tear her apart.
Characterization.
Zambo. Okay.
Although she's well written and great, Karen Gillan is great as a performer.
I just stop hedging at Zambo. Why do you hate Amy Pond?
I don't know, okay.
All right, let's get in.
5.
Oh, God. I'm going to get roasted. Number 5 is Romana. Romana the Time Lady.
Ooh,
who
is exciting.
Interesting, one of the only companions to be played by 2 different people because she regenerates at one point.
When and, is this?
This is during the 4th Doctor's run.
Okay.
So... Mr. Scarf again.
Yeah.
This is obviously, she's interesting for a few reasons, not just the fact that she's a fellow Time Lord, but also the actress Lala Ward of Romana 2 married Tom Baker for a brief time.
I mean, that is interesting.
So there was briefly a married, though off-screen, couple in the TARDIS.
Isn't it a bit patronizing that the Doctor's, like, for the Time Lady to just be a companion of a Time Lord?
Well,
can't she have her own companion?
Yes, well, she was a kind of a young and inexperienced, you know, very book smart, but not very street smart. You know, that was her original characterization.
Hey, I know about that, Zambo.
Yeah. But she has a lot of growth, which is why I like her. And in the end, she's very attached to the Doctor and doesn't want to leave. And
yes.
It helps that after her regeneration, she becomes like a very warm and likable. I'd say the whole this era is characterized of it's under particular this producer Graham Williams. The show got a bit more family friendly after the gothic years.
So I'm really like interested in these gothic years.
Oh, they're great. They're among the best. But this is great too, because it was a bit more family-like. And Tom and Lala Ward, they were like a married couple, you know?
Oh, and so it's like mum and dad solving science
especially,
crimes on the TV.
Because they also had a young companion with them some of the time, Adric.
Oh.
So
and Baby Makes 3.
Oh. I like Romana.
Okay, here we go.
4.
Number 4 is Donna Noble.
Yay!
Donna made it.
Donna got there.
Donna is a fan favorite, and rightly so, because she... you can see why people liked her when she came.
Yeah.
Because the years that she... preceding her, there was a lot of romantic entanglements with the Doctor, which was new. It wasn't in the old show.
No, because the old Doctor was pretty sexless.
Yeah, no, it was specifically like no touching. You know?
Yeah, it was like your dad, or like even more like your high school teacher. Like they're mandated not to show any kind of physical affection.
Yeah,
towards
to like
you.
A point of weirdness. I guess they just didn't want to avoid any kind of like he is an alien.
I mean, it is British. Mm. Like, you know, they hate that stuff over there. Keep talking. Don't draw attention to what I just said.
I'm trying not to. Anyway, after a lot of romantic entanglements, Donna comes in and she is, I just want a mate. I just want to be best mates.
I don't want a mate. I just want a mate.
Yeah, that's her classic life.
Hey, we've got a text saying it was Tom Baker's TARDIS. Does that mean anything to you?
No.
Okay, well, interesting. I mean, we know what the TARDIS is, right?
Yeah.
Time and relative dimensions in space.
Romana,
another thing
who was with Tom.
Oh, yeah. I see. So that's why she's the companion, because it's his TARDIS.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you for the clarification.
Also, possible bonus point for Romana, not to jump back, but she has a great costume, which is it is the female version of Tom Baker's costume.
No!
Which
what?
Is, they basically just took his costume and made it pink and cream.
Oh,
with,
I love
like, the
that.
Same long scarf, which sounds...
That sounds hideous, and I love it.
Silly, I know.
Okay, do you have anything else to say about Donna Noble?
She's just, I mean, props to Catherine Tate for being an amazing actress, because she's a great comedy partner of David Tennant.
Am I bothered?
She comes back with an emotional gut punch, and her leaving scene is one of the most emotional in Doctor Who history.
Wow. All right.
So props to her.
Okay.
Three.
Number three is Rose Tyler.
Ooh, interesting to have the old 1-2 of Donna Noble and Rose Tyler. So this is the romantic entanglements.
Yeah, this is the opposite of Donna, because this was the original. This was the first companion of New Who.
Yes.
And she was around for a while, and her shadow loomed large over basically the whole of David Tennant and Christopher Eccleston's run.
David Tennant, he split himself in two to be with her,
see,
right?
You remember that.
I may have been obsessed with this bit of the show.
Yeah.
Who
wasn't? It's one of its golden ages.
Honestly, when it stopped being romantic, I kind of lost a bit of interest. I'm sorry. I know that makes me like a Doctor Who heathen, but
yeah. Well, I mean, you're not the only one who kind of didn't like Rose Tyler retroactively, but I think just in terms of her characterization, she's the most perhaps fleshed out of any companion on
the show
human. Ever. She's probably the most grounded, at least at the start, because people forget how, like, she was just like an ordinary girl, and they spent a lot of time on her family and her like life and how the TARDIS actually affected traveling.
Yeah, it gets very like kitchen sink.
Yeah, it was basically that, and so she just it was a great performance and a great character, and it kind of gets a bit more. Like, drifts away from that, but still.
I mean, her character must be great, because the costumes in this era are shit. I mean, honestly,
it's like
beige trousers, right? Mm. And like a white turtleneck.
Well, she was against the Ninth Doctor with his leather jacket.
I love that leather jacket. I mean, I'm just saying that the New Who is somewhat lacking in the costume, so I'm pleased that they've gotten this far on character alone. All right.
Number two,
Joe Grant. I know you're like, what?
Who?
Who? Who is Joe Grant?
I love how generic these names are, though.
That's okay. Fair. Fair point.
Like, it really jumps all over the place. Like, I feel like the writers can't decide, you know. What? Anyway, Joe, tell me about Joe Grant.
Joe Grant is criminally underrated. That's why, I mean, half the reason I'm putting up her so high is spite. But also, she's the first strong emotional connection we got with a companion.
Wait, is she the one who has the metal dog?
No.
Oh, shit. Shit.
Joe was like a companion of the Third Doctor, so early to mid-70s.
Yeah.
So that was John Pertwee, who was the man of action doctor, who did a lot of Venusian Aikido and, like, had all his flying vehicles and stuff.
Listener, I promise you, Zambo just demonstrated some Venusian Aikido, and it was very impressive.
Yeah, he had his Whomobile. He was famous for his vehicles.
Wow.
Look
Why
up an
did they
image.
Discontinue
if you,
that?
If you, he had the vehicle commissioned himself, and then he had the writers write it into the show. So just look at the vehicle and say, he made this.
Oh my God. It's wonderful. It looks almost like a stingray where the underside is red, but it is a car.
Yeah, it was
the
road
Whomobile.
Legal.
It was no, it was not.
Yes, it was.
It's so wide. Oh, here's a picture of it driving down the road.
I feel like I'm getting away from Joe. But Joe,
this
was,
is important.
Yeah, no, Joe. I'm saying because John Pertwee was a kind of like a man of action, and Joe was his like she. He took her under his wing, and there was this really great like. I don't want to say father daughter, but like mentor, mentee.
Mentee. That, I mean, that sounds beautiful.
Yeah, she was characterized as ditzy or like a bit of an airhead, okay. Which was so unfair because she had such incredible growth and such like sweetness and incredible, like. She just like she was really resourceful.
That is like very classic 70s TV though, to just be like Ryder is an idiot. It's more believable that way.
I just I'm people didn't think much of her, and like they were like, oh, she's not a feminist. But I think
Amber, in retrospect, was she a feminist?
No.
Oh, rude.
But it's no. But it's the actions that dictate, not what the okay. Label. And I think she was a feminist in that she had such incredible character growth. She stood up for herself.
She didn't avow feminism, but she represented feminism.
Yeah,
that's what
I guess
saying.
What I'm trying to
okay.
say.
Okay, I love that. That's really good. Okay, before we get to number one, I'm going to make you do a speed recap. And then I'm going to get you to plug some stuff. So speed recap now. 10.
Leela.
9.
Nissa.
8.
Wilfred.
7.
Bill Pop.
6.
Zoe.
5.
Romana.
4.
Donna Noble.
3.
Rose Tyler.
Aww. 2.
Joe Grant.
Do you have anything to plug, Zambo?
No. Nothing to plug.
You don't have anything like that people
Come
can go and
Dry
look at?
Dry Island. Or-
I'm going to be personally plugging that a bit later. But yes, no, do come to Drive Island. Zambo will be filming.
Yeah, so if you see me with a camera, come and complain to me about my choice for number one.
All right, so here we go.
Juan.
I spoke before about the golden trio of the second Doctor.
Oh my goodness. Yep, okay.
And the other part of the golden trio... Jamie McCrimmon.
Ah, old mate Jamie McCrimmon.
Yes.
These names are like doing me in. Jamie McCrimmon?
Jamie was a Scottish Highlander.
Of course
from
he
the
was.
18th century.
I was like, there's got to be something significant about the name McCrimmon.
Yeah.
So he's a Scottish Highlander.
Yeah. From the past. So he's one of these companions who are not a present day classic fish out of water. This is a very controversial pick, I will say. But Jamie was the perfect companion. I just have to, because in Jamie was another of these companions that wasn't meant to stay, but he was written in
okay.
late to stay on. And then he ended up staying on for the entire run of the second Doctor.
Very important.
So he
was
appeared in the second episode, and he was there till the very end. That shows just how well he worked.
Was he dressed like a Scottish Highlander?
Yes.
Hot. Okay.
So that is another... He gets a bonus point because he was in a kilt the whole time.
That's brave. That's braver than any trope. So we've got someone disagreeing with you quite directly in the text. No, Grant is considered the emotional high point of the 63 to 89 run. Thoughts on Grant?
Yeah, that's Joe Grant.
Oh, Joe Grant. Yeah. Sorry, I thought there was a whole nother companion that we were missing out on.
Yeah, no, she's great. As like an emotional connection that fostered over many years. But Jamie is like a bromance that fostered over like
listeners,
many
years. I present to you the passion of a true fan. So you have chosen a song to represent your list. Would you like to play that song now?
Yes, I am playing the theme to the short-lived, never picked up, but not terrible pilot, K-9 and Company, which is features a companion who was very cruelly left off my list.
Yeah, I'm
Sarah
just...
Jane Smith.
Oh, I thought K-9 was going to be number one, but yeah.
No, honestly, Jamie was just a great... The buddy team of him and... just watch some of his episodes.
Play the song.
Sorry. I feel like I just have to.
A satisfying and justified ranking of that thing. The 95 BFM Small Top 10.